Good morning, everybody. My name is Saju, and I'm the vicar here. And today, we are going to start a series that will last 3 months, which is one of our longest series that we'll do for some time. We're starting a series today, and it's called Building One Another Up. So I want to ask you a question as we start. Are you a rich person? Okay, that's a double-edged question. Are you a rich person? What does a life that is rich really look like? And the parable that Matilda and Zephaniah read make it very clear what it doesn't look like. Okay, can I please have my computer, please, Mike? This is what a poor person looks like. Okay, thank you, Mike. That's great. There's this man who was very rich apparently, but he was actually very, very poor. So let's look at this passage. The ground of a certain man yielded abundant harvest. It wasn't because he was good. It wasn't because he was good looking. It wasn't because he was clever. The ground just did. Okay? The ground of a good man. Then what happened? He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I will do. I will, do you get the point, don't you? I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And they, I will stow my surplus. Then I will say to myself, even that is, you is actually me. You have plenty. You get the point, don't you? He is talking about himself because he has no room for anybody else in his life. Where is his wife? Where is his children? Where are his children? What about the neighbors? Hasn't he got any grandparents? What about the people who are his employees? Who actually built the barn? Who actually harvested the crops? Where are all these people? They're not in the parable. That's because he is only thinking about. That's right. A very, very poor man. There is a legend called Narcissus. He fell in love with himself so much that he adored himself. There was no mirror in that town, so he found a pond. He went and looked in the pond and he saw a reflection of himself. He was amazed by it. He looked at the pond and he looked at himself and he stayed there for such a long time. The legend says he fell in the pond and drowned. A very, very sad story. Similar to this man who is so pathetic in his isolation. There is no room for anyone for him around him. So he talks to himself. If you read the story in the Middle Eastern culture, that's what it is. It's a very pathetic story. Man who talks to himself. And then God responds by saying, you fool. Our focus as a church for the next 3 months, between now and the end of July, is going to be on a series titled, Building Up One Another. I believe the two greatest challenges for us who live in the Western world in regards to the gospel of Jesus is, the first is consumerism. The second is individualism. Let me explain that. It's the big words. Consumerism says, I go to Tesco's and the people at Tesco's actually serve me because I am a consumer. Consumerism is a big idolatry in our world. That's not a big problem in itself. The problem is we bring into the church and we say, what can the church do for me? I'm a consumer. That is a problem. Consumerism. Individualism says, I am in the middle of the universe. I am in the middle. Everybody else actually in the proximity of me. Individualists say, I, me, myself. A little bit like this rich man. See, that is why in the church we have the prosperity gospel. A prosperity gospel says, if I have a relationship with God, God will prosper my life. He will make me very healthy. He will make me wealthy. That is a false gospel. I think driven from individualism. I'm not saying God will not bless us and prosper us. But if that is the motive, what I'm saying to us is, it is a false gospel. If only I love God because God is going to heal me. If I only love Him because God will give me cash when I'm going through tough times, that is not a good gospel, actually. It is a false gospel. The New Testament encourages us to tell us, as followers of Jesus, what we are to do to one another is right at the heart of the Christian faith. Paul is a man who wrote a significant part of the New Testament. He says 40 times he says the word one another. Hey church, listen, it really, really matters, Paul says, what we do to one another. Let me pick up a few things that he says to what we need to do to one another. And these come from the writings of Paul. He says, devote yourself to one another. He says, honor one another. The New Testament teaches us to love one another. To edify. To edify is to cleanse. To help each other actually in the life of God, to edify one another. The New Testament teaches us to accept one another, to instruct one another. It teaches us to welcome one another and to care for one another, to serve one another. Notice that actually it is not some people serving and some people recipients of serving. It is one another. It is not some people welcoming and rest of us recipients of welcoming. Some churches have an 80-20 problem. Do you know what an 80-20 problem is? 20% of the people do 80% of the work. I don't think we are that church here. That is a really, really unhealthy church. It is all about one another. One another. So there is a circular motion here. The New Testament teaches us to esteem one another, to encourage one another. It teaches us to pray for one another. It teaches us to practice hospitality with one another. Do you see that? These are all right from the New Testament, and especially that list that I picked up from the writings of Paul. So for the next 3 months, we are going to learn about it, going deep into some of those things, not just learn, but I hope in the months and years to come, practice it as well. I love this church. I consider leading this church as one of the greatest privileges of my life. But we are not perfect, are we? In a lot of these places, we are not there just yet. That's my view, and that you might agree with me. We are not a perfect church, but we are actually far from it, if I think hard about it. But as we go through these series, I want each one of us to ask the question, not what can the church do for me, which is a fair question sometimes, but what is the kind of person God is calling me to be so I can fulfill God's purposes in this generation and perhaps through the local church. Church was never designed to be individualistic. It has always been communal. Ecclesia is the Greek word that used of one of the words for the church. And that literally means a gathered community. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit has gathered a bunch of people like you and me. And that is what the church is. Dorothy Bundle's home group found me a few weeks ago. And Dorothy said to me, Sajid, we really like what you're doing here, what we are doing as a church here. We really want to be as a home group, be part of it. But one of the ways we can support you is by praying. I was so encouraged by that. You see, not all of us actually are called to do everything. But I do believe, as Dorothy Bundle's home groups kind of exemplify, we are called to pray. We are called to do something or the other. I think that's great. And I believe there is a deep hole in towns and cities in the United Kingdom. Like many towns and cities in the United Kingdom, Gillingham is highly mobile, but deeply rootless. And this is one of the holes. There are few avenues in contemporary Britain where people of all ages can gather together, like we do. Where else do you see that in any meaningful sense of the word? Very, very few avenues where people of all ages and backgrounds and abilities can gather together. And I personally think, as a father to small children, the people who are actually bearing the brunt of that rootlessness, that lack of actually community, are children. Children growing up without the influence of grandparents in their lives. I know this firsthand because my children's grandparents live very far away. One lives 500 miles away and the other one lives 5,000 miles away. And they haven't got grandparents. But you know what? In the last year, something that's really deeply encouraged me is actually them finding grandparent figures in the life of our church. Church is one place where they can find that. But actually, there is a steps to be taken. I'm talking about that. Why am I saying this? I love Medway City Council. But Medway City Council can't give you surrogate grandparents, can they? They can't. The Church of Jesus Christ can. There's something the church alone can. Do you see the point? Those of you who work for the Medway City Council, is there any grandparents going? The church can because it's highly relational. As far as I can think of, no other spectrum society even comes anywhere near close to what the church does. Reason is because no other spectrum society has a theology of family, as an understanding of what it means to be a family of God. The church is uniquely shaped where appropriate boundaries are placed. Rich relationships in the local community can happen. I want to finish. But before I finish, I want to suggest three things that we as a church can do in the next 3 months. Something very practical for us to deepen our relationship with God and each other. The first thing I think I'm going to suggest to us is, why don't you invite someone who you normally don't spend time with or you don't know for a meal or a coffee in the life of our church in the next 3 months? Not the usual suspects, yeah, people we often hang out with, somebody who you know in the life of our community, our church family, and say, hey, listen, I don't know them. I really want to actually get to know them a little bit, because we can pray and be hospitable and serve and love. You see the point, don't you? We can't do that on yourself, by yourself, is the point of this morning. Why don't you invite someone for a coffee? Get to know them. If you can't afford it, come and find me. I will make sure you're resourced to buy, well, not a meal, but a coffee maybe. Second thing I want to suggest to us as a church is this. Why don't you join a team? One of the best ways of actually building relationship and getting to know and going deep in the life of our church and practicing the one another injunction is to be part of a team. This is by no means all of you. Some of us actually don't have depth of relationship in the life of church because we don't serve anywhere. We come to a Sunday morning and we go home and we have a busy life and it's often fair. But sometimes we need to find spaces. Yesterday I was kind of at Food Bank and I was watching Paul Smith and his team. They were working together, and there's, in that context, relationships are being built. That is where they practice their one another. St. Mark's has a number of teams. Keith Sheepwash runs our Alpha team. You know, there's always a need there to actually enable other people to come to know Jesus in the context of a team. And that's very true of so many. Food Bank, we can talk about a flower arranging team or welcome teams or our young people's work, especially our children's team in Kids Club and Landmark, and there are visiting teams. One of the ways we can actually get to know, practice the one another injunction is by being part of being serving a team. Perhaps that's a challenge for you in the next 3 months to say, hey, I want to find a place where I want to serve. Finally, we do have small groups. Believe it or not, we've got about 10 or 11 small groups. If you're not in a small group, it's very hard to get to know and practice this one another series. So as a home group, we're actually going to be looking at this one another deeply. If you're not in a home group, can I urge us to actually join a home group in the coming? How can our homes, how can our churches be places of generous hospitality where grace is practiced? And authentic relationships are nurtured, and radical discipleship is lived out. I've got 3 minutes to go, so I'm going to tell you a story. No, I'm going to tell you a word, a Cameroonian word. How many of you have come across this word called Ubuntu? Anyone here who know what Ubuntu is? Okay, one, two, three. Okay, we'll start. Have you got a microphone, Samuel? Luke? Right in front of me, is it? Is it right? What is it? Joe's got it. Okay. Right, David, tell us what Ubuntu is. Because I didn't know what Ubuntu was until a few weeks ago. So, David, tell us what Ubuntu is.
The spirit of... Yeah. Okay. The spirit of togetherness. That's how my South African friends described it.
That's right. I understand it's a South African word, but also Cameroonians use it. There are a Ubuntu language stream actually have the word called Ubuntu, which has got to do with what David. Anyone else want to actually add to that? Any South Africans here? Any Cameroonians here? Anybody else? Kelvin, you want to say something? What is Ubuntu?
I'm not Cameroonian, but it's an operating system in IT.
Okay, right, okay. That's right, okay. Ubuntu is, this is how Archbishop Desmond Tutu put it. Ubuntu, he says, is a very difficult word to render in the Western language. Archbishop Tutu says, my humanity is caught up with yours. It's inextricably bound up with what is yours. Ubuntu says, I am my brother's keeper. I am my sister's keeper. Ubuntu says, my life is bound up with yours. Exactly not what like the rich man in a parable looked like. So turn to your neighbor and look at them. Look behind you. And look in front of you. You see, your discipleship and mine needs to be centered and fueled by immersing ourselves in the person who is around us. So may God find us faithful in practicing Ubuntu when he comes again in his glory. Let's pray. Father, we as a church in the coming weeks and months are going to think deeply about one another. We thank you for the many, many people who are part of this church family. And you know us. We are not a perfect family. We are a broken family. But the Father loves us. The Son died for us. The Holy Spirit is at work in our lives. Teach us as a community to practice loving and caring, praying and encouraging, esteeming and serving, submitting ourselves to one another and to care for one another. Help us to accept the rich difference that we have in the life of our community. Father, we don't pray for ourselves. We pray that your Holy Spirit will take us into places where we can give people a taste of what heaven is like in the life of our local church. So bring depth to our community. Bring growth to our community. May we, as your children, practice brilliant hospitality in the weeks, months, and years to come, that the world might know that God sent his Savior, and his name is Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.